Those who are part of our congregation know that during these Lord's days, during the Advent season, we have been doing a mini-series on the first 20 verses of Luke 2. I preached a lot of times from this passage, but never in a systematic fashion. So we've been doing that. This morning, we had the fifth of those messages on verses 15 through 18 and verse 20. And I said at the time that at the close of our service this evening, we would take up verse 19. I'm not going to take the time to read the passage again, since we've heard it read by several different people during this service this evening. So we'll come just to the 19th verse of Luke chapter 2, where we read the words, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." We have read in the context of the shepherds coming to the manger, to the stable, to behold the child lying in the manger. And they went forth and told everybody what the angel of the Lord told them. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. It was, you will agree, the most astonishing night of her life. Not only had she given birth to her firstborn son, but then she heard the report from the shepherds as to what the angel of the Lord said to them concerning this child, and what the multitude of the heavenly host did in giving praise to God. So while the shepherds went out, Mary, as her place was, sat in the stable in Bethlehem with Joseph, with the infant Jesus, and with the livestock that were in the stable, and she considered all that she heard. We don't know whether mothers in those days kept baby books, but Mary began to keep one in her heart. In this brief text, then, we consider Mary's private reflections. The reflections of Mary's heart concerned the character of the babe of Bethlehem as the Savior of his people. They revealed the character of the babe of Bethlehem as Emmanuel, God with us, or literally with us, God. Very emphatic way of putting it, with us, God. Mary's reflections show us what we should consider as most precious, because those reflections focused on the truths concerning the person of Christ. And there are three things in particular on which Mary thought on that night and during the days and years afterward. And I want just to highlight those three things as we come to a close in our service this evening. First of all, understanding her own sinfulness. Mary knew that she was a sinner. She knew that she was a sinner by birth and by choice. And in that, she shares that experience with all of us. She understood the truth that she inherited from Adam, the guilt of original sin and the corruption of her whole nature. That there had been born in that very stable the Savior, Christ the Lord, reinforced the truth that Mary herself needed that Savior, as do we. There was no thought then in her that she came into her own existence through some immaculate conception. She knew that she was a sinner. And that she was a sinner not only by birth, but by her own choice. That is, in her life, as is true of us, she was true to her inclinations in following the corrupt leading of her own will. That is what we are. But in spite of that, God showed great mercy on her. So that the one who was a sinner by birth and by choice also was a saint by divine grace. Not by the decree of any person, but by divine grace. And how did Mary gain that status as a saint? Through salvation, by the sacrifice of the very one whose body she bore in Bethlehem, Christ saved her. And she made that point clear when she received the news that Christ was to be born. She said that she rejoiced in God, her Savior. She was a sinner by birth and by choice. She was a saint by God's grace. She was a servant by divine power. She became a servant to the Lord. And we learn from Mary that just as she submitted herself to the Lord and to the Lord's purpose for her life, and that purpose would bring her not only great joy, but untold hardship and anguish. We learn to submit to the will of God in our lives, to the Word of God in our lives, to the work of God in our lives. We would not be here this evening were it not for that call and that work of God. But the second thing I want to remark on is resting on God's word. We read here of the things that Mary kept. She kept all these things. What did she keep? What did she treasure? Well, they were things which Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, told her, as we read in the previous chapter, about the manner in which Mary would give birth to her firstborn son. Where she heard those words from Gabriel that her son was going to be called the Son of the Highest. She kept those things. She rested on the Word of God. But she kept the things too which the angel told Joseph, as we heard tonight in Matthew chapter 1. Things which he certainly related to her. Things about the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of Emmanuel. She kept those things. She treasured those things. She kept the things which the angel of the Lord told the shepherds that they in turn told her. Can you imagine the wonder that must have filled her soul? As she heard what they told her about what happened outside the little town, she kept those things. And she kept the things, as far as she knew them, of which the prophets wrote throughout the history of the world, all the way back to Adam. And there was no history before Adam, I hope you understand. Adam marks the beginning of history. And he, as a prophet, spoke, and as did all the prophets after him, speaking in general of the coming of Messiah, and in particular, how did she keep those things? How did she treasure them? With diligence. She thought of them. How do we keep God's word in our hearts? We think upon it. We treasure it. We value it. She gave attention to fixing what she heard in their memory. So it wasn't a case with her of out of sight and out of hearing, out of mind. She went back to those things, thought about them. She rested on God's word. And the third thing that we take from Mary's example here is looking to Christ. She pondered those things, we read, in her heart. That is, she thought on each detail. As she thought about all that she heard, she thought on each detail. She compared one statement, the statement of the shepherds, with the statement of Gabriel, with the statement of Joseph relating the statement to him by Gabriel. She compared those things. And it's clear from the language that she engaged in those reflections, those ponderings, on an ongoing basis. So she came back again and again, even though she knew them well. It's the whole thing about the Bible. It's the whole thing about the Word of God. You may know it well. You heard read tonight portions of Scripture that you've heard many times before. You know them well. And people would say, well, you've already heard that. You've already taken that in. Let's go on to something more interesting, more exciting, more novel. She came back to them again and again. And she did more, I tell you, than just to think about those things. Those truths concerning her firstborn son became the pattern of her life. Here is where the gospel meets us, where we live. She lived by the truth. I was thinking about this passage that we've been considering in the last 3 weeks. It begins in Rome with Caesar Augustus, the decree of the emperor, the mightiest person in the world in that time. Mary never came remotely close to being where Caesar Augustus was in all of her days. And yet, we come at the end of this passage to her firstborn son, who was more of a transforming figure in the world than Caesar ever hoped to be. So the passage that begins in the imperial court with the actions of one of history's most powerful rulers comes to its end with this young mother, Mary, sitting in the stable, looking upon the face of her firstborn son and considering the truth concerning him, that he is Jesus, the Christ, Jesus the Lord, Emmanuel, with us, God. We dare not avoid her example as we come into our commemoration of the coming of Christ. Let us reflect on those truths as well. They are the important truths for us to contemplate. And let us be sure evermore, long, long after these events of which we read transpired, let us be sure that we too look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May God bless the word of the Lord to our hearts tonight. I want to say that I wish for each of you a very blessed holiday season, trusting that the Lord will bless in various family gatherings and other gatherings during this time. Oh, for the grace to keep this truth before us, that we ponder the reality concerning Christ.